Wednesday night, we had a pretty good service Wednesday night. I want to go there on Wednesday night. That's where I want to go for right now. I want to go there on Wednesday night because Wednesday night is when God moved in a way that was just different. Even people that were here Wednesday night, some of you were here, didn't catch the whole thing. But this is, I sit over there, as most of you know, I sit over there and there's usually a bulletin sitting there, and Wednesday night there's really no bulletin, so I reached around and grabbed the bulletin from the pew behind me, and I just wrote down one little piece. I wrote down, tonight, I said, at least one person will come to Christ tonight. 6:44 p.m. Wrote that at 6:44 p.m. Now I had to step out on faith on that. Now I could have. I wrote it, set it over there, put it upside down so if anybody walked over there, they wouldn't see it. Put it over there, set it down, we continued to keep singing. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, this message I'm preaching tonight is not really a whole lot. But it came out that there was a lot about salvation. But we were sticking on spiritual things, trying to get into that groove on spiritual things. And I think we did get there. But while I was preaching, I knew what I'd wrote on that paper over there. And no man can pull a person toward the Lord to receive salvation. If he does, usually it's that person saying, I'm tired of you talking to me. I just want to say and get you out of my face and you'll never see him again. That kind of witnessing never works. But as we closed out the service, we came to the altar call time and opened it up for invitation. I think there were 25 people here Wednesday night, 25 people. And asked if there was anybody that wanted to. It was going on for a minute, and they say, anybody here that needs the Lord to be saved tonight? And there was. It was great. It was great. Hand went up and said, come on down. And when she was walking down, it hit to me and said, this is the moment. This is the moment. So I walked over and grabbed that paper, came over, put it in front of Ashley, and I said, I want you to read this. She says, at least one will come. One will be saved tonight, 6:44. Now, I don't know if you know about our Wednesday night services, but there's usually not a lot of salvations on Wednesday nights, let alone. So I know this. I know that God is still moving in New Life. And I know that some of us catch it. Some of us are missing it completely. Some of us need to work on it. But I'm telling you, God has a way of moving. And you're either going to catch it, or you're going to miss it. Or you could be one of those observers who sees everything from a distance. And you might be the greatest football fan in the world, but you've never played it. You'll never truly understand it. So I want to share some things with you out of Matthew chapter 7. And I know that was our big, long, yearly Bible study on Sunday nights. But God's word is always good to learn and go for. You see, right now, last week, we had some fun in the pulpit. We had some fun. But see, what I just said, did you catch what I just said? That does not make me a prophet. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going down that road. What it is just listening to the Holy Spirit. I know what a spirit. I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I know it. I know his voice. I know his voice. Listen, if you don't get what I'm saying today, they never will. Lord, give us somebody to praise the Lord. Somebody to praise the Lord and ask the Lord to do more. Ask the Lord to use this place more. Listen, I'm telling you, we got to get out of our little worlds. Listen, I shared this with a couple. I got a demon on my back for 5 days. He's messing with me hard. I'm telling you, he's messing with me hard. Don't get around me too hard because I might get grumpy with you. But I'm telling you, he's been on my back for 5 days and was right after that event. But I want to tell you, when you are working and you're trying to serve and you're working in the light of the Lord, I'm telling you, darkness is in the mist, always in those shadows, waiting for an opportunity to pounce. And sometimes God allows that to happen. And there's purposes that sometimes we'll never truly understand. But we are in a battle, and we need to, let me tell you, it's live the life that God's given you to live. Live it. Live it to the fullest. Enjoy life. But let me tell you this, it will come to an end. It will come to an end. Remember the things that are everlasting, the eternal things. Remember there are people out here that are lost. That there's a church here in this community, right here, this one here, that we're trying to build up for the Lord. Not for me, for the Lord. There's a lot of problems in this church building. And I'm going to work through some of it the best I can here and ask, seek, and knock in Matthew as Jesus is in this conversation. He says, ask and it will be given to you. What does that truly mean? It means ask. We are to pray. We are to pray and fast for what we feel. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, drawing us closer to the Lord. We are to ask. But what are we asking in our prayers? What are we asking? I'm asking that the Lord will give us some individuals or a road or a path somewhere that we're going to complete some things that we've already prayed and fasted for in January. We prayed and fasted for these 21 the bulbs, which is 21 people. So I'm still asking that the Lord is going to give us 21 baptisms. I hope you are too. What did I just say? I said, I'm asking the Lord, God, the one who created everything, to reach down, come down, and bless, and that 21 souls will come through, that they would have that baptismal experience with the Lord, that they be have a baptism, that them and the Lord, drawing people closer to the Lord. I'm telling you, what I've done is just trying to pray. What you've done during January is try to pray. We pray, we fast, and we connect with God. Now, right now, I need to pray. I know. I need to pray because my mind is bouncing everywhere. Father, Lord, I want to ask, Lord, for your presence, Lord. I've done that already this morning several times, Lord, but this is the moment where I'm to preach from your word. May your word not come on deaf ears, but, Lord, may it fall upon the ears, Lord, of open ears and open eyes and open minds, open spirit, that our hearts might be right with you, that you might give us understanding of what your spirit is speaking to us about. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus in this message. Lift you up in this message. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So we're asking that God will give us and grant us those 21 baptisms. But there's a cost sometimes. There's a cost. When you ask of spiritual things, there is a cost. We're asking something that we cannot do on our own. We're asking God to intervene. And God, we're asking God to intervene. And when we ask God to intervene in things, then other spiritual things want to intervene. And they want to get in and mess it up. They want to mess it up. So we have these battles that go on. So we're to ask. And he said, they'll be given to you. What are you asking? What are you asking for? What are you asking? It's everything for yourself. Is everything for your own family? We are to pray for ourselves. We're to pray for our family. But we need to be specific. We need to be specific in our prayer life with the Lord. We need to be specific in what we're asking for. But he just doesn't stop there at asking. He says, seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Specifically looking for something. I'm seeking that the Lord will show us some people that know how to work with masonry and concrete. Our building, out walls of our building are kind of falling apart here. We need some help with that. Folks, let me remind you right now, we need some guys. We need about 10 guys in this church. Now, we just need 10 more guys in this church. We need 10 more couples in this church. We really do. There's so much going on in this church, can't keep up with it. It's growing more and more. We just can't keep up with it. But we need to seek the spiritual things of God. And some of the things we're talking about are the fleshly things like concrete and brick and mortar and things. But they're also that part of spiritual. That we are to grow spiritually. We're to seek a closer relationship with Christ. We're to seek what God has for us. We're on a journey. We're on an adventure. We're to seek those things out. But also it says that we're to knock on the door. Knock on the door and the door will be open. Knock and the door will be open. That is something very specific. I'm knocking on this one door and I need it to open, but it won't open for me. Or I need this door to close. And you need to know that there are some things that only God can do. No matter how hard you work at it, there are things that only God can do. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, give him a stone. Or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? Isn't it that the Lord is saying that he wants to hear from us? He wants to hear from us on a regular daily basis. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. In Revelations, he comes over and he speaks to one of the churches. It's the church of Philadelphia. And he says this, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. I know your deeds." God knows the deeds of this church. We're no better than anybody else. We're no worse than any other. No. God just knows us. This is not anybody else today. It's about this church right here. God knows the deeds of this church. He really does. He knows the deeds of this church. He says, "I have placed before you." He's speaking of this church, Philadelphia. He says, "I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." Can I tell you that God's placed this church with an open door? Everything, pretty much about everything we do, if it's in that realm, it just works. And there's no reason that a church this size should be able to do it. There's no reason. But the Lord, just like on Wednesday night, the Lord does his part. Praise the Lord for that. The Lord does his part. What was he showing us on Wednesday night? I'll tell you what he was showing us. Listen, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you pay attention, you'll hear from the Holy Spirit. Seek things that are spiritual. Bible tells us that, that the Lord wants all people to come to Christ. All people. He says, "I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength." It's got to be a small church, doesn't it? A little strength. "Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Think that's something the Lord is looking for? Those who are faithful, those who keep his word, those who keep that commitment with him. He is. He gives them an open door. He gives them an open door. Be careful that you don't take your eyes off of the cross. Do not take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. When you do, and if you do, I pray you don't, you will sink fast. Because when you get into the Lord's work, I'm telling you, the Lord gets involved in it, you better be on his shirt tails. You better be hanging on him. Because that other stuff, it'll tear you up. We can't handle things that demonic. And half, I believe there's a big percentage of this church that struggle with things of demonic. You get involved with spiritual things, I'm telling you, it's there. It's in this place today. I'm telling you, it is on my back today. I'm struggling preaching this message. It is on my back because I believe this church is close to a big breakout in the Holy spiritual way, but it's hindering because it doesn't want you to see and know what God wants to do in this church. And some of you, God is calling you to do certain things. I don't even know what it all is, but I know that it is heavy on my shoulders this morning. This is not how I usually preach. At least I don't think I do. Mom will preach God's word anyway. In season, come on, Mike, and out of season. And we know that what we're trying to do here in New Life is trying to lift up the name of Christ. And Christ's name is worthy of the battle. And we just sung, the battle is not ours anyway. Scripture tells us the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. I only want to read one verse. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We cannot lose heart of what God is doing with us. We have to continue to ask, seek, and knock. It's never going to end. Ask, seek, knock, knock, and seeking, and asking, and asking, and seeking, and knocking. Because we need God's guidance. We need His direction. We need to follow in His will. And when things get hard, we don't lose hope. We don't lose our heart. Even when it gets hard. Listen, when something gets hard in churches, some people just pack it up and go on down the road. They got no backbone. They got no rhino skin. They got no Christian scars on their back from being cut down by their own brothers and sisters. They got no scars. And scars from the world, wounds from the world, they don't hurt much. It's just the ones from your brothers and sisters. Those are the ones that hurt. But there are a lot of us walking around with those here, and we keep going forward. We keep going forward because there's something that we did back in January that was very, very spiritual. And it went over a lot of people's head, but there were some that caught it. And so we were asking for 21, and so many people said, that's just not going to happen. Now I'm preaching this in June. 4. I'm preaching this in June. Half the year is over. And Jesus said, you have little faith. Let me just tell you something about praise. God's going to get His praise whether you praise Him or not. Did you hear what I just said? God's going to get His praise whether you praise Him or not. There's scripture that says rocks will cry out. There's pieces about the sun and the moon. Nature does its part. We are the rebellious ones, yet we are the ones that God loves. And we're struggling with this is 21 back. We are struggling spiritually. We are struggling with it. Because we forgot that we prayed for three couples and God gave those one couple left. We were in the whole one. We needed three a couple years ago, and God brought four couples. Wow. Now, one moved off to South Carolina, North Carolina. The others is the Joneses, and the others is these guys down here, and the others are Kelly and Brian over there, and Larry and Jessica. You guys came in on a time that we prayed and fasted. Hello? Do we understand that? That God keeps doing what He's called. God keeps, when we pray and we fast and we take it serious and we get into it, that this church is seeing God's hand move. I love the other churches, I do, but I'm just telling you, this is not business. There's a side of business that's over there, and I don't like it, but I got to do it. But I want to tell you, when it's in the spiritual realm, what we talk about, I'm just telling you, this is a place, this is a congregation, this is a church where God does a lot of things. And we need to open our eyes up and see what God is actually doing. He is doing so much. He is doing so much. We needed help on the men's house. I had teams that fell out. And then we get a call in February, I think, and this group from Georgia brought 42 people. Georgia came in and did some serious good damage. Good damage. But we just act like it's just normal. You know what it takes to bring 42 people up here? You think it takes $1,000? Takes more than that. Oh, let's all stop at Burger King. What do you think that bill costs? God has taken resources from other states and bringing them here. Do you think God is doing something here? Do you think that He has a plan here? There's been a couple people in the city. I heard about those teams you bring up. Do you think that we could borrow them for a day? No, I'm just being honest. There's people that want to borrow. We had another organization out of Warsaw that emailed me and asked me if we can have one of the mission teams to come and work on some stuff at their place. This place is more important than what you think it is. God is using this small church, this place, as a lighthouse to the United States. You know, when we were listening, I don't even think you all, a year and a half ago, I think it might have been a year ago. It was before COVID, so you'll say a year and a half ago. That they choose one church every Sunday to pray for nationally. It was us. It was us. Listen, that's not just Southern Baptists. That's Nazarene. That's all the non-denominationals. That's the Methodists. That's the Lutherans. One church. They pick 52 churches a year. We were one. I never heard of them. I don't know how they found out about us. Which brings me to prayer. People pray. People get that list that goes out to all the churches in America, all the pastors, and it goes on online, and all of them pray. As many of them, they pray, because there are a lot of people that take prayer serious. They pray. They were praying for us. Wow. Are you praying for this church? Or does God got to get all the prayers from outside? God is making His investment. This is what happened to us. We need to stay true to what God has called us to do. We need to stay true and faithful to God. That door will always stay open. Jesus has to be front and center. Number one, He has to be front and center. Even in our ministries. Number one. As long as I'm here, the church will oversee those ministries. I've seen it too many times where the church would say, oh, it's getting too much, and they jump over here and let the ministry become their own organization, totally separate. And the next thing you know, Jesus is nowhere to be found. It becomes secular because it was about the church having faith for the funds and the faith to do everything. But when it becomes separated, it becomes now about the money. Oh, we need money. We need this. We need that. And it becomes secular. You know why it becomes that? Because if it's God's, let God run it. If it's God's, and in the end it is, His name needs to stay on it. I'm just telling you, God is in this place. He wants us to wake up. I struggle with this message all week. I'm going to be transparent. I come in here prepared on Sunday mornings. I come in prepared on Wednesday nights. Sometimes I have notes. Sometimes I don't. But I come in prepared. 10 minutes, about 15 minutes once we got here, about a quarter or two, I was struggling. I didn't have anything. And as anybody knows, the pastor knows, if you've been doing it long enough, and you got to preach, you can put something together. Now, the last 10 minutes is when I've been preaching. That other stuff, when I was talking about asking, seeking, knocking, that's biblical. It's good. You can learn from that. But when I started moving into what God is trying to do here, and that all stuff, that's when the Holy Spirit started speaking. God is trying to do, he's trying to wake us up. I still believe that this church can be at 125, 150 people, no problem. But I also believe that we can fill it. Is it about filling it? No, but there's a part of that. You reach people, a lot of people stay, some people go, but I just still believe that we can, you're still considered small at 125 now. You're small at 200 now. But what is it? What is it that he wants? He wants you to see his mighty works. Psalm 77 says we are to praise the Lord for God's mighty works. Are we to praise him? Are we to praise the Lord for his awesomeness? There's so many more things that he's done here. So many more lives, so many things he's done in people's lives, and lives have been changed here. The Bible says, where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. Let me tell you this. Most churches have one key. One key. Key holder. Key holder isn't, the key holder is the one that is the owner. They open and close things. You know who the main key holder is, right? Who has the keys? Death and Hades. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jesus Christ. He runs all those eternal things. He's got those keys. But does it make sense that God has given a small church 6-7 keys for 6-7 different ministries? You see, if we were someplace, well, you've been in the woods too long. I've been there. Which means you go into the forest, you're in there, and you see all the bark, you see all the dead trees, you see all the sticks and limbs, and you see all the dead leaves laying around, and you're inside of it. You need to take a step back from it and walk out of it. Take a step back at it and look at its beautiful landscape. Look at the colors of the leaves. Look at the life of what's going on as a whole. God is doing some amazing things here. Do you think this is the last thing God's going to do? No. Listen, I have been to more churches than most of you ever have in your whole life. Because I get to go to other churches. I get to preach at other churches. I get to visit a lot of churches when I go down on fundraising trips or awareness trips down south, Mississippi. Been to 5 or 6 of those. Couple, 3 in Alabama, some in Kentucky, Ohio, a few. Been all around. Seen a lot of churches in Indiana, a lot of them. You could take me out of the equation and that'd be just fine. But God is working here. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't want to be at another church. I see God moving too much here. And we need to get to the place where we understand it, that we need to be a part of it. How can I help? What can I do? And some of that is not just asking me, it's asking him. But I'll tell you, if we're not doing the basic things that God's called us to do, it's going to be hard to do those other things, because ministry is commitment. And it's faithfulness. It takes your night hours. When I look at my calendar, it takes all your night out, your weeknights, 4 nights usually a week. Because this is my life. It's not because of it's the Lord. I see those names up there, and it bothers me that we're not passionate about that. That name should even be filled more. Every week we should be putting names on it. Jesus says, ask, and be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the doors will be open. What is it? What is it God? What is it that God is calling you to? An increase in faith? I don't know what it is. But I know this. God is not done here. God is moving here. And never forget, if one generation doesn't do it right, God will wait for another. And that's all through the Old Testament. So you can let sleep on it, and you can sleep. But if God doesn't get it done with this generation, He'll get it done with the next. So I'm going to ask that we stand. I don't know what God has for you. I don't even know really where God is rolling with all of this 100%, but I know this. He just wanted us to know today that He's moving.